Broadcasting coast to coast and border to border from Memphis, Tennessee. It's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging deplorable.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. You know, I finally figured out why I'm in a good mood, which I haven't been in a bad mood all week, but I've been a little ornery. No grace, ornery. Ornery. I was a little riled up this week. But you know why, Grace Baker? Do you know why, Grace Baker, our newlywed call screener,
you know,
why I'm in a good mood?
I'm curious about this.
Sweet potato pie.
I should have known. Had something to do with good food.
Mm-hmm. We've got the Starnes family gathering tomorrow in defiance of our local health overlords. And we're going to have a big spread, but I know we're going to have sweet potato pie. And just to make sure we have a fair and balanced dessert table, a pecan pie.
Is this at an undisclosed location?
Well, it is an undisclosed location, but we have my Aunt Lynn from Coldwater, Mississippi, has the bail money just in case we get nabbed.
Okay, well, maybe give me your contact info and, you know, I'll be your backup if you need me to come down there and bail you out.
Yeah, but you're not getting a slice of the pie, though.
That's what I was hoping. You would get me a slice of pie if I bailed you out.
You know, Senator Marsha Blackburn, she was on the morning show,
yeah.
KWAM here in Memphis. And she, while she was talking on the phone, she was in her kitchen and she was like baking the ham or the turkey or something.
I know.
I was very impressed.
Hashtag goals.
I wonder what KT McFarland is doing right now. You know, she's on the Liberty University Newsmaker line. KT, are you in the kitchen? Are you baking something?
Because there's so much going on in my kitchen that I'm now in my conservatory. Herbs. Now, doesn't that sound just really effete?
Okay. It does, but you sort of broke up there, KT. So what are you doing with the herbs? I miss the herbs.
Rosemary and sage, and I'm about to make ahead gravy so that tomorrow we're all set and I don't have to wait for the turkey to be done to make the gravy. This is way more detail than you needed.
No, KT, we could almost be a Food Channel radio show. We talk so much about food on this program, so it's great to have you with us today, and we've really enjoyed seeing your guest appearances on Newsmax, doing a terrific job. Let's talk about the big issue that a lot of people are going to be talking about tomorrow, I suspect, and that is the state of where we are with the investigations into voter fraud. What are you hearing out there?
Well, I mean, my feeling is that all the people who tell you this or that or the other thing, you know, the pundits, on all sides of it, they're just guessing. They don't know. And the people who do know are the forensic experts and the lawyers and the judges, and let them do their job. And my feeling in general is that we're a nation of laws. And if whatever has happened, and I think a lot has happened, with regard to election fraud and election vote harvesting, but it has to be able to be proven. And if we can't prove it, then if the judges say, no, nothing here meets our threshold, or if it can't be proven, then I hope that when we've had our day in court, and if it doesn't bear out, I hope we all just move on. Because I'm really concerned as I look ahead. I'm concerned about Georgia, and we have to keep Georgia. And I'm particularly concerned about the message the country has just given us, by us I mean conservatives, Republicans, to say, we're for you. We love the policies. I mean, if you look all across the country, in state houses, in governor's mansions, in the U.S. Congress, conservative policies have won. And there has been a blue wave, not the red wave of socialism and defund the police and screw up family values, but the things that people like you and I stand for. And so the country sent a message to say, keep on, you're doing it right, keep going. So I certainly hope that we can focus on winning Georgia, making sure the Senate stays in Republican hands, and then in 2022 and 2024, then Republicans win again. I'm still holding out hope that there'll be something that's uncovered for this time around. But if not, I urge all of my fellow conservatives to look to the future because, you know, again, we're a nation of laws. Got to prove it.
No, you're right, KT. And my concern here is that they do have the evidence. I hope they do. I'm trusting them. They're the ones that are doing the investigations. And like you said, if they get to the court of law, they've got the evidence, then this very well could be the greatest political scandal of all time, at least of American history.
For sure. If they have the evidence, this is the, and I mean, this goes historically, this is it. It's the big kahuna.
But
they have the evidence.
But to your point, KT, the only firewall we have left is the United States Senate. And if the Democrats are successful, and again, you've got Stacey Abrams saying more than 750,000 mail-in ballots, early voting, that's very troubling because it looks like they're trying to steal this Senate race as well, allegedly.
Yeah, and so here's my concern. If they've gotten away with it, let's just make sure they don't get away with it again. Let's put all of our energy and all of our focus and all of our resources on making sure that the Georgia election is fair, making sure that our people campaign there. I would implore the president to please campaign in Georgia, please have rallies, please bring out voters, because if not, then we're going to see just a really crazy drift of the country away from where the American people want it. And the American people don't want to defund the police. The American people don't want to eviscerate the military. The American people don't want hopeless foreign wars. The American people do want us to stand up to China and protect America's economy. And this is all the stuff the Democrats have absolutely no intention of doing. So we need to keep the Senate, and we need to keep our heads and wits about us. Don't let the bad guys win, and then just keep moving forward.
KT, I'm wondering if the Republican Party, by and large, have they learned any lessons from Donald Trump and his commitment to fighting the good fight no matter what?
I sure hope so. I mean, I'm a traditional establishment Republican who deserted my own rank, my own wing of the party to support Donald Trump, because to me he was the guy who was going to smash the China and the China shop, and the China needed smashing. And being governed by elites is not only wrong but stupid, because the foreign policies and economic policies that we've been governed by prior to Trump, whether under Republican or Democrat presidents, they weren't getting the job done. They weren't protecting the American people. They weren't bringing us peace. They certainly weren't bringing us prosperity. Now, has everybody learned the lesson? I sure hope so, because I think that the idea that the Republican, the rhinos or the never-Trumpers or whatever you want to call them, the guys that say, oh, good, we're going to get rid of Trump and it's going to be our party again. No, siree, it's not your party again. Your people, they're all Democrats now. They're all Biden Democrats. The people that Donald Trump has brought to the Republican Party are hardworking American people. It's the guys of the little guy, who turns out, by the way, Todd, to have a whole lot more common sense than the so-called smart people in Washington.
Well, I think there's room for everybody in the Republican Party, going back to Reagan's big tent philosophy here. But you're right. I think there is that a bit of condescending attitude. But you know what? That can go both ways, to be perfectly honest with you. I think that we can learn a lot from each other, the wealthy and the not so wealthy, and the poor as well.
Well, I completely agree. If you look at where the Democrats are going, whether it's in college campuses or in schools or in the media, where you're not allowed to have a different opinion, that you somehow are so offensive if you have your own opinion that, the little snowflakes in the college campuses can't abide that. I mean, I think we're in a bad place. The whole point of American democracy is that we all get to choose. And if a leader can inspire us, the majority of us, to go in that direction, that's the leader we want. But we should not have to bite our tongues. We should not have to say, well, in the interest of free speech, we're not going to have free speech. I mean, it's gotten to the point where I think the majority of average, real, normal people have said enough already.
Well said. Well said. Well, KT, we're going to leave it there. Look, always great having you on the program, and hope you and the family have a very, very awesome Thanksgiving.
Hey, can I tell you what people in New York are doing this Thanksgiving?
Yeah, please.
So our governor has said no more than 10 people, indoors or out, for Thanksgiving. So what my friends have said, but the governor has also said, however, for a funeral, you can have 25. So everybody I know is having a funeral for the turkey.
And I love it.
And you can have your house full, and instead of in lieu of flowers, please bring desserts and a side.
I love it. My condolences to the turkey. Beautiful. KT McFarland, ladies and gentlemen. KT, God bless.
Happy Thanksgiving to you and yours.
All right. That's brilliant. Good for you. All right, KT McFarland, folks, and we've got a link to KT's most recent book in our live show blog. You'll be able to check that out. We do have a line open. We're going right to the phones, 844-747-8868. You know, one of the things, and you know what, we'll be taking these calls during our trivia hour coming up, but I'm also very curious to know, what are you thankful for this year? You know, we've all been through a crazy year, but I still think we can find a lot to be thankful for. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Triggering microaggressions from coast to coast. It's Todd Starnes.
All right, all you people in Arkansas, listen up, because you've been calling Grace Baker. I think the entire state of Arkansas has been calling you, Grace. We just got word about, and we wanted to clarify what's happening Saturday at the state capitol in Little Rock. There is indeed going to be a rally. So the rally is back on 11 o'clock, 11 o'clock Saturday morning. We understand the list of speakers is being finalized, but this is the information we have. So if you want to get out there at the Stop the Steal rally, you can do that 11 o'clock Central Time there in at the State Capitol in Little Rock. Somebody said, what side of the Capitol? Okay, you guys, I don't know. Just walk around the Capitol. Get some exercise. What do you want me to do? Wait a second. I'm supposed to be in a good mood today. So anyway, it's going to be a lot of fun. Get out there, show your support for President Trump. All right, let's get to the phones. I've got to go to Niles because I understand Niles from North Carolina. You have a Thanksgiving joke to share with us. Niles, great to have you with us today.
Well, thank you very much, Todd. Yeah, the problem here of this family gatherings during the holiday season, the easy way to get around that is to move everything into the bedrooms. Didn't the Democrats and the Libs say that what goes on in a person's bedroom is none of the government's business?
Niles, this is brilliant.
Yes,
this, what a great idea. I mean, I know everybody's having funerals for their turkeys, but I think this is a better idea because you're right. They say what goes on in the bedrooms is not the government's business. I love it.
Thank you very much. And I got one of your autographed books.
Oh, fantastic. Oh, fantastic.
Yeah,
well, Niles, thank you for that. And thank you for listening to the program. And thanks for listening to The Talk Station out in Morehead City, North Carolina. Good folks out there. All right, let's go to the lovely city of New Orleans. The queen of the Big Easy, Miss Janice. How are you, dear?
I'm okay. And how are you?
Oh, I'm good. Janice, you know, as soon as I said that, I thought, I sure hope this is our Miss Janice and not another Janice.
Oh, I'm sure there is another Janice someplace, you know. There are others. But I want to wish everybody there a happy Thanksgiving. And insofar as what I'm thankful for, I'm thankful for my home, to have a home to live in. I'm thankful for my husband, whom I love dearly. And I'm thankful for my pillow, which I highly recommend to everyone. I really do.
Isn't it a great pillow? It's wonderful.
It's the best, Todd. You can plump it up. It keeps its support. It doesn't go flat. And I really feel that the key to a good night's rest is the support that it gives you. So, I mean, I'm not, you know, being funny here, people. I am highly recommending this to you. It would be a fabulous and wonderful Christmas gift for a family member or for yourself. Give it a try. It's everything that Mr. Lindell says it is.
Now, yeah. Janice, the only thing I can add to that is when you do get your MyPillow or your MyPillow mattress topper, they offer a special deal for all of our listeners. Use the promo code STARNS when you get to MyPillow.com. And if you get one of the mattress toppers, they're going to throw in free pillows on top of that. So, Janice, I guess maybe you should get a cut of the commission now.
That's okay, Todd. But no, I wanted to say something here that really had me disturbed the other day. Now, when I hear the word suspension, I'm thinking of something that's just temporary. If you suspend Grace, that means she won't be able to be at the station for maybe a week, and then she'd get to come back. But what this guy did, he should never come back to Twitter ever again. He shouldn't have been on there in the first place. I saw this on Facebook the other day. The guy that started the walkaway movement, Brandon Strzok, had retweeted this. It says, Adam Rahuba, Antifa leader. And on the 20th of November, he tweeted Donald Trump, and his tweet said, if you do not concede by Sunday at noon, we will begin to block roads in conservative areas. Your supporters will not be able to go to work or the grocery store to feed their families. We are armed and will retaliate to attempts at vehicular manslaughter. Now, the police ought to be going after this person. And like I said, I don't like the word he's been suspended. He should be totally and completely and permanently and forever removed from that platform.
Well, Janice, no argument here, but as we all know, the big tech folks are clearly anti-Trump, and they want to try to silence Trump supporters. And in some really demented sort of way, they believe that violence directed at conservatives is in fact justified, which is why Hillary Clinton used the word irredeemable when she called us all a basket of deplorables. That implies that we, because of our value system, are somehow beyond redemption. And it's troubling. And you're right. People like that ought to be pulled off of Twitter, but they're not going to do that because they're too busy trying to take down President Trump's tweets. Hey, Janice, got to run. We are up against a hard break here. By the way, real quick, though, what are you having? Oh, we lost Miss Janice. Sorry. I was going to ask her what's on the table for Thanksgiving. You know, she's in New Orleans, and I guarantee you there's going to be oyster dressing on the table somewhere in the Miss Janice household. By the way, former President Obama, remember the calls for unity? We just got to get along. Well, he was on Stephen Colbert and also on the Breakfast Club radio show. And he's bashing Fox News Channel, Rush Limbaugh, and this idea that white males are somehow victims in America. So under the... You know, this guy, he's something else, isn't he? Barack Hussein Obama, ladies and gentlemen, seems to believe that it's okay to punish people because of the color of their skin. And I remember years ago, Obama had a policy. He was doing this big push to get men back into the workplace, jobs for men. He invited black men. He invited brown men. He invited Asian Americans. He invited Hispanic men, no white men allowed, at his job symposium. Now, it seems to me, I don't care if you're black or white or polka dot, but if you're poor, you don't have any money in the bank, you don't have a car, seems to me everybody ought to be able to get a job, right? I mean, isn't that what MLK said? Well, I think that's what he said. Hey, look, got to take a break here. A line open, 844-747-8868. ToddStearns.com is the website. Check out the live show blog. We'll be right back. All right, folks, some more info on this Obama interview. He was on the Breakfast Club. That reminds me of the John Hughes movie, but that's a different Breakfast Club. Barack Obama says, and I want to read the quote here. The question is, you still have 70 million people voting for a government that I would say objectively has failed miserably, talking about Trump, in handling just basically looking after the American people and keeping them safe. Why is that? Well, part of it is because it turns out politics is not just about policies. It's not just about numbers. It's about the stories that are being told. The story they are hearing from Fox News and Rush Limbaugh, and in some cases inside their churches, is that Democrats don't believe in Christmas, only care about minorities, and black folks are trying to take your stuff and trying to take your guns away. Well, let's just unpack that for just a moment. Democrats are trying to destroy Christmas. They are trying to throw out the baby Jesus and the nativity scenes. When you say they only care about minorities, well, I just explained to you some of the policies from the Obama administration. The idea black folks are trying to take away your stuff, hashtag reparations, Mr. Former President. And the idea that the Democrats are trying to take your guns away, well, look at the proposed gun legislation that Joe Biden has just announced that would cost law-abiding gun owners billions of dollars. Billions of dollars. Barack Hussein Obama, ladies and gentlemen. Let's go to the Liberty University Newsmaker line. Good friend of this program, the dean of the College of Business there at Liberty University, former Congressman Dave Brandt. Dave, hope you're doing good today. Happy Thanksgiving.
Hey, thanks so much, brother. Great to be on.
Well, a lot going on here, Dave, and the fight for the presidency goes on. We know that a couple of state legislatures are jumping into the fight. What are you hearing?
Yeah, well, I'm just hoping we have a few Trump cards in there. It's going to take a huge backbone out of, you know, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania. The state legislatures are going to have to step up. And I think the key to it is if these votes have not been certified, right, the law is the law. And so the Democrats will have a cow if you make the point that, hey, no, in Pennsylvania law, it says you have to have the signature matched against this and the envelope has to be this way. And the machines have to be run in a particular order. And that is written into the law. And so if we challenge the law rightfully and say we have huge questions about the timing and magnitude and the statistical aberrations that have taken place here that are just contrary to all norms, we're not trying to overtake the election. We're trying to defend the election. And it's going to take tremendous courage for the Pennsylvania and Michigan and Wisconsin state houses to stand up and do the right thing because it is the right thing.
You know, Dave, a lot of people are anxious out there, and I think we all understand that a lot is at stake, not just in the outcome of the presidency, but also what's happening in the state of Georgia right now. We know that about 21 Republican senators were recently outed for being opponents, you know, privately opposing this president. I mean, you spent time up on Capitol Hill. Have the Republicans learned any lessons from Donald Trump, or are we going to go back to politics as usual?
Oh, no, that's the terrible tragedy. I mean, that's the question, right? I mean, these are significant voter fraud issues that need to be explored. Where's Kevin McCarthy? Where's Mitch McConnell? Where's the Heritage Foundation? It seems to me they're excited to get back into power, right? If Trump leaves, they're back in power. They control all the levers again themselves. People who like power like that feeling. And Trump showed us the pathway to get working class votes, to go populist against their globalism, showed us the winning path, how to beat down the blue wall and win with nice, normal people, you know, Christians who follow the law and all this kind of thing. And it looks like we're going to ignore it and go back to losing seven states at a time. But, you know, we still control the corporate dollars. And I guess that's what matters.
Yeah, I got to tell you, President Trump radically transformed this party, at least as far as membership. I mean, the blue collar workers, minorities, the number of women who are elected to Congress. And I hope that there is some sort of a cultural shift there in the right direction. Otherwise, you're right. We're going to end up back to putting people like John McCain and Mitt Romney up as nominees. And that's just not going to work.
Yeah, well, it's a tricky thing because I wish you were correct that the culture had changed. But I came in, you know, guns blazing populist against Cantor years back. And I didn't have a big enough megaphone to explain that kind of worldview. Trump does. He was the only guy who can do that, right? So in Georgia, we're going to find out if our establishment guys' leadership don't come in and back Trump fully. The Trump voters are unique. They did not come out for me in my midterm. even though I was very close to Trump on immigration and the globalist thing and the China thing, the Trump voters do not follow politics. And that's what's at stake. It's going to be very hard to communicate with them because they like the country. They're patriots, but they don't follow politics closely. So I hope you're right that we got them in the fold, but I don't think the Republican Party has them in the database, put it that way.
No, well, I understand. I understand. Yeah. And, you know, too much is riding on this for us just to sit back. I mean, we've got to really force them to make changes. We just have to. I want to get your reaction real quick to this quote we read from President Obama on the Breakfast Club. Basically saying that the Democrats really do believe in Christmas. They care about everybody and that black people are not trying to take our stuff and they're not trying to take away our guns.
Well, Obama's been playing it fast and cute with theology, and we haven't called people out on first principles, right? And so I don't think it's too much to say, you know, you like Christmas president. You know, he's smart enough to defend. Right. Somebody needs to ask him, you know, as a Christian, do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? And see what his response to that is. Right. Because if you can't even get a straight question to these things these days without, you know, it's like if you ask a person like, what is your philosophy? And if it's not Christianity, can you please tell us what it is since you want to, you know, run the entire world? Would it be too much to ask to know your worldview? And I think Christians have to quit being so polite. We just assume, oh, everyone's good-spirited, everyone's a Christian. Well, no, they're not. A lot of people are trying to block your First Amendment rights to religion and speech. They're yanking people from major media presentations and platforms right now. They're trying to go after the Second Amendment, higher education. You won't get any religious or ethical training at all anymore, none by a philosopher that you can name. K-12 has been gone for 30 years. And so the American people got to wake up and start asking some basic questions again and not be afraid to ask those tough, tough questions in public.
Well said. Dave, going to have to leave it there. I got big plans for violating health department regulations tomorrow.
Good. Yes, overconsumption.
I love it. All right. Well, yeah. Dave, looking forward to seeing you back on campus at Liberty University. And yep. We appreciate the great work you're doing.
Yep, God bless you and everybody out there. Have a great day, Todd.
All right. Dave Bratt, the Dean of the College of Business at Liberty University, and what a beautiful campus. If you haven't been out to Liberty, you should do that. We'll be back out there at the start of next semester, and you can come by and say hello to us in our Liberty University, I guess our East Coast studios. So there you go. East Coast, sort of West Coast? I don't know. All right. Look, we got to take a break here. We're going to get to your phone calls, 844-747-8868. Coming up in the next hour, trivia, a full hour chance for you to win some great prizes. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
You're listening to Todd Starnes.
All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Hope you guys are doing great out there, having a good day, getting ready for Thanksgiving, maybe take an extra lap around the park or two, or maybe three. Let's go to the phones. Jason in Texas listening to us on our live stream. Hi, Jason. What's going on today?
Hey, Todd. Hey, last week you mentioned about, you know, if Joe Biden does happen to get elected, that he's planning on implementing a nationwide mask mandate.
Yes, that's what he says, Jason. That's certainly what he said.
Right. And I agree with what you said, that there's, you know, he can't do that. He doesn't have the legal right to do that. But my question is what legal rights did the states have to do that, you know, and still implement it now?
Yeah, they don't have those rights, and that's what troubles me, Jason, is that government does not have a right to tell you what to wear on your face or anything else on your body for that matter. Well, I guess you can't go around buck naked in public, but you can't wear they cannot force you to wear a face mask. They just cannot do that.
Right. Well, my point is this. you know, me and my wife, we absolutely refuse to wear the mask unless we need to go in somewhere, you know, and they require it, because that's their business. Stores can do whatever they want. But, you know, the majority of people I see wearing it, you know, based on the way that they wear it, how they take it off and on and take it off all the time, that tells me that they don't really think they work, right?
Good point.
So my point is that those people that fall in that category are only doing this because they're being told to do it. So I guess my question is, you know, what makes me or you or anybody else think that the American public are going to respond any differently if Joe Biden tries to enforce something that he doesn't have a right to?
Yeah, look, that's a fair question. For me, the broader issue is because I think by and large, people are not going to obey. They're not going to follow those orders. And we've already seen so many law enforcement, you know, departments around the country say, we're not going to enforce this nonsense. It's not constitutional. There are no laws on the books. So my bigger issue is who gave these people that authority, or at least who gave them the idea they could make those kinds of decisions? That's the issue. And that goes back to local elections mattering. And Jason, we've got to do our homework and we've got to get involved. We've got to go and vote in those local races. I know it can be a pain in the butt, but this is what we've got to do. It's our civic duty to do that. Jason, thanks for the phone call, and thank you for listening to us. Let's go to William in Alabama. Hi, William. What's on your mind?
Hi, Todd. Just make a quick point. I'll be brief and to the point. Everybody knows that this election was sullied with illegitimate votes. Anybody that argues that is got something to hide. I think we ought to throw the whole thing out, make it null and void, do it over nationwide with double verification, federal election officials supervising, and let the chips fall where they may at that point. And I'm just going to tell you, we the people are not going to be ruled by communists, especially after what everybody knows is an illegitimate election. You know, there's so many politicians on both sides of the aisle that are globalists. Paul Ryan, I understand he's on the board of Fox now. Is that true?
William, I can indeed confirm that information. He was named to the board of directors when I was there. And honestly, when I saw that coming, I thought, well, my time here is short-lived.
Yeah, it's no wonder they've gone left. And, you know, the average American, you know, we cut across every social, economic, and racial line. There's so many of us out here that just realized, straight to the point, that we know this election was nothing but a bunch of fraud. We're not going to accept, and we're not going to live under a communist regime. And I'll just leave it at that. And let you comment. Thank
All
you
right.
so much, sir.
William, a terrific call. It was short and sweet and pithy, sir. Well done to you. Thanks for listening to us on our live stream. Look, William's absolutely right here. We've got big problems, and we cannot allow an illegitimate election to stand. We've got to take a stand here. Let's go to Shelby County, Tennessee. I believe that's Memphis. Bob is listening to us on KWAM. Hi, Bob. What's on your mind today?
Well, I'd like to talk quickly about the mask mandate, because a couple of callers ago, a gentleman spoke and said, well, there's really no legal basis for being able to impose these. However, here in Tennessee, I believe 89 counties are wide open, and there's a handful which, having their own health departments, have instituted mask mandates. And most recently, over the weekend, the Shelby County, Tennessee Health Department increased the requirements, or you might say restricted even further the requirements for people going into restaurants, hair salons, places like that. I'm a small business owner, and I'd like to know what recourse we might be able to have to push back, because the letter that went out from the health department says if you don't require people coming into your place of business, the the health department can fine you $2,500 per incident and take away your business license.
That's right.
Can they do that?
Well, they can, because they've been given the power to do that by the Shelby County Commission, your local government leaders there in Memphis. But, Bob, the bigger problem you've got in Tennessee is your Republican governor, Bill Lee, who did not have the moral courage to fight back against these big cities, because he gave the big cities permission, exemption from the statewide policies. And therefore, the folks in Memphis, they get to make their own decisions. And the governor, for whatever reason, did not want to fight that fight. And it's a tragic thing, because it does have consequences for all of you business owners out there.
It has significant consequences because we're put between a rock and a hard place. Our clients are coming in every day saying, can we take our mask off? We're so sick of this stupid mask mandate and we want to comply. But all we need is one or two clients to come in and say, oh, you're not requiring people to wear masks. Call the health department, and then we're the one with the gun to our head. And it is absolutely ridiculous. And we need to be able to know how to push back against this. I saw this morning on Fox News that apparently people are starting to protest this in California. And I'm at a point where I believe we need to start doing this locally as well.
Bob, what kind of a business do you run, Bob?
Well, I want to remain discreet, because I really don't want this call traced back to me, you know, if you understand what I'm saying.
That makes sense. That makes sense.
Let's just say we're in the personal services business. So from that standpoint, you know, clients come in,
sure,
and they receive, you know, cosmetic care and things like that. So what this does for us is it puts us between a rock and a hard place. None of us want to have to do this. Most of our clients don't believe it's necessary. Most of the country doesn't believe it's necessary.
Right.
And here we are, putting ourselves and our livelihood at risk if we don't comply, putting ourselves and our livelihood at risk if we do comply, because
Bob,
we're ticking off our clients.
Bob, we're going to have to leave it there. That music, if you listen to the program, you know what that means. Hey, thank you for calling in, though. And I can promise you, and thanks, by the way, for listening to KWAM, I can promise you that your local radio station, KWAM, is going to stand and fight alongside you guys. So hang tight. And that goes for everybody around the nation. We're in this fight with you. We're not going anywhere. Stick around. We've got trivia coming up next.